Hey, gang, I want to tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. They are fantastic. I've been using them now for a couple of months. I've used their balms. I've used their oils to sleep. And today, I'll be talking about a whole new product. Now, listen, True Hemp Science promises you premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products. They offer a complete line of CBD products, including full spectrum CBD oils, tinctures, CBD skincare lotions, CBD sports rubs, CBD gummies, and CBD gluten-free chocolates. They number their CBD products to differentiate them by strain, by farm, and by extraction method. Now, last week I was telling you about the number 81, which is great for relaxation and sleep. But today I'm going to be talking to you about number G41. That's full spectrum CBG plus CBDA plus terpenes. Now, this has given me some focus. It has some CBD in it, but it doesn't make you sleepy or tired or foggy in any way. The CBG kind of gives you some focus and it energizes your brain while keeping you calm and cool. You know what I'm saying? People report it relaxes their brain and does not affect cognitive performance. While it is calming, it is less physically so than CBD. It's great for working. It's great for getting your work done. I'm even using it right now. So, gang, how did I get here as partnered with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products? And if you use the code HDIGH, you will get something special. Purchase $65 worth of regular price products and receive 296 milligrams of number 81 distillate. That's the one I was telling you about. That's great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. For how did I get here? And you can also visit them at their brick and mortar store. That's right. They have a physical location right here in Austin at 505 West Mary Street, Unit C, Austin, Texas. Don't forget, use the code HDIGH. If you're already using CBD products, switch over to this one. I promise it's going to be great. You're going to love it. All these products are great. And the CBG, CBDA is unbelievable. Like I'm telling you, I feel very clear. I feel very focused. I haven't been drinking a bunch of coffee all day, and I'm not all anxious from coffee. You know what I'm saying? TrueHempScience.com, HDIGH. You're not only getting yourself some CBD, but you're helping us out here, right? By using the code HDIGH. TrueHempScience.com. Go get your full spectrum CBD products today. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Bobby.
When we talked.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week thus far. Maybe you've been doing the South by Southwest stuff. I've been doing some South by Southwest stuff, baby. It's here. It's back. After 2 years being totally off, it's back. I went to an event on Monday. Well, I'll tell you about it in a second. Because the last show came out on Monday, but the intro was from Friday. That's because I had a weekend chock full of events and things to do. First of all, Friday night, Skyrocket played in San Antonio. Great show. What's really weird about that show was that in the weeks leading up to it, we were like, hey guys, I think we might be playing San Antonio a little bit too much. Crowds might not be growing. I don't know what's going on. Boom. One of the biggest shows we've ever played there. Unbelievable. The crowd was completely engaged. Everyone was having a great time, and I had a great time. It was fantastic, but drove home after the show, didn't really get to bed until like 3:30 or 4. Rosie woke me up at 7, so I had like 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Then I had to go be on a panel at 11 in the morning about the future of music on very little sleep, and I went and I did that, and that was really, really, really interesting and informative. I will say the last 30 minutes or so, I was doing that thing where you're yawning, but you're like on a panel. You're at a table with a microphone in front of you, in front of a whole room full of people, and you're like, you know, holding your mouth quiet, but like yawning. I had that going on, but I learned a lot, and those people were really interesting that were on the panel, and I'm interested to see what people are trying to do now with sort of restructuring how music is delivered and how people will pay for it, as opposed to paying a service. They're trying to make a movement where people pay an artist, like the Bandcamp format, or you're not paying a label, or you're not paying a like Spotify. You're not paying for a Spotify subscription. You're actually paying the artist for a song. That's something that they have been able to do with what they're looking at being Web 3.0, which, by the way, is a whole other conversation in itself. There's this guy named Vision that I met there that was on the panel. Really, really interesting cat. And I was trying to get him on the show, but I think I will get him on the show, but it'll have to be Zoom because he lives in New York. Anyway, so I do that panel like 11 to 2, super tired. Come grab Rosie and drive to Houston, see the family. My cousin Megan and Emily were there. My cousin Megan came from New York with her baby Max. He's about a year and a half old. We had a blast, a blast. Whole family got together Sunday. Great time. Great. It was great. Just great being with the family. Great getting to spend a couple days with little Max. Got up Monday morning, came back, went to that party at noon. It was for Amped Up. You heard Holly Hagerman on Friday's show from Amped Up. Great party. Great bands playing at the party. I got to see Scott Strickland, who was just on the show. Fragile Rock, who I haven't seen in years. Those guys were still kicking it. Socks of Murder. Still, I don't know if you've ever seen Fragile Rock, this band. They're the world's only emo puppet band. So that's all I'm going to say to you. Check it out for yourself. Fragile Rock. And then my friend Natalie Price, who was recently on the show for the artist development program that I'm involved with at Austin Music Foundation. We recorded a couple songs. She debuted her new band at this party, and it was fantastic. It was fantastic. And I'll tell you what, man, it was great getting to see people again. The parking thing was really fucking annoying. But getting down there, luckily I can walk to downtown. That's what I'm going to do from now on, is just walk down there because I can't. The parking's insane. I could have walked there and back like 5 times in the time it took me to find parking. But anyway, let me tell you something. What I noticed about this party, this COVID thing, people are not, no, there was like one person at this party with a mask, but I hugged at least 38 people at this party. So I don't know if stuff's going around or if stuff's really gone. Hopefully it is, because it was really great to see people, great to catch up with friends of yours you haven't seen in 2 years. There were friends of mine I haven't seen in 2 years. Really. Got to hang out with Chris Hawks, Graham Wilkinson, Ruby Dice, my friend Adrian Lake, and all the musicians, Natalie Price, Scott Strickland, everyone. It was great. It was great to be out and great to be among people. I'm going to enjoy this weekend. I'm going to keep on going to see music as much as I can. Hopefully you're doing the same if you live here. If you're not, you can live vicariously through social media and all kinds of things like that, because South by Southwest is back and it's a really good time. That's all I'm trying to say. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Andrew Cashin from Sweet Spirit and A Giant Dog is my guest. He just released a new album, The Cosmic Silence, on 9 Mile Records. You can find him on Bandcamp. You can also find him on Instagram, even though his Instagram was hacked. You can find him on 9 Mile Records. He's got a very busy South by Southwest going on. He's going to be playing at Radio Coffee tomorrow, Thursday, St. Patrick's Day, at 2 p.m. That's Radio Coffee. Andrew Cashin will be playing there. And Uncle Doug's on Sunday at 8 p.m. Okay, Andrew Cashin's new album, The Cosmic Silence, absolutely fantastic record, man. It has this cinematic 60s, 70s kind of vibe, like Ennio Morricone mixed with like the swinging 60s. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is groovy, okay? I love A Giant Dog. I love Sweet Spirit. And I love both of those bands a lot. And he's been on the show with Sabrina Ellis, his partner in those bands. But he's a co-founder of those bands, co-writes those songs. But in his own music, he really has a focus, like he does with everything else. Everything else has a specific focus as to what it is. And that's what I noticed about Andrew. He really has the specific focus to sort of bring this groovy, like, great songs, great singing. You want to listen to it again and again. It's actually, he has another record called Back in Texas. It came out in 2019. That's also a great record. He's got all kinds of great people from here in Austin on the album. As I said, go to Bandcamp. That's what he prefers that you do with it. Andrew also co-wrote a song on the new Spoon album with Britt Daniel. It's a song called The Devil and Mr. Jones. That's pretty exciting for him. Isn't that? That's exciting for all of us. It's just, all that stuff is great. I love Andrew. I think he's a great songwriter. I think he's a really nice guy. I think he's a really, really, really talented musician. I say you get out there, check out The Cosmic Silence on 9 Mile Records. And without further ado, enjoy my conversation with this talented and super cool dude, Andrew Cashin. Let's get down. Kevin Curtin video with you.
Oh, Tynus?
Tynus!
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah, Pizzagate?
Yeah, Pizzagate. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Fucking great, right?
Yeah.
Here, you scoot up on that mic.
John Valley's done a couple of our music videos.
Yes, he has. That's how I found out about him, was when y'all were coming on, like, years ago.
Yeah.
Those videos were so weird that I literally, like, reached out to him and was like, will you come over? Like, let's talk. You're fucking awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, my expectations for that
movie?
Yeah, like, man, he blew it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park.
He is so, that guy's amazing.
Yeah.
What's he like to work with as a director?
I mean, he's basically just a friend.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel
That's
like
what I'm, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just friends with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Doesn't feel like a working, weird relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did the video for Holding On?
I
should have written it down.
Shannon Wiedenmeyer.
Okay. That's a great video.
Yeah.
You're a good actor. Do you act? Do you?
No. I hate acting. Oh.
It's different in a video, but you're great in that video.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All the Elvis shit I love. Yeah. Is that Dossie singing on that song, or is she just in the video?
She's just in the video.
Okay.
I did want the girls who... She has sung on stuff... Previous
of yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she's actually not on that track.
Okay.
But all the girls that were singing just had other obligations that day.
So. And that was Sarah Hauser?
Sarah Hauser, Rocky, Bullwinkle, and Jordan Wood.
Okay. Who's Jordan Wood? She from?
She lives in France now.
Okay.
She's just good studio musician.
Yeah.
Easy to work with. But she moved.
Yeah, that happens, man. Your record's great. Where did you do it?
With Stu Sykes.
Who's that?
He's done the last two Sweet Spirit records and the last Giant Dog record.
Oh, wow.
He's also worked with, like, Jack White, White Stripes, The Walkmen, Cat Power.
I just had Walter, like, an hour ago from The Walkmen on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a new record out.
Hang cool.
On, sorry. This air conditioner will fuck everything up. So that's interesting to do all of your projects with this same... And they're all vastly different and different sounding. Is he engineering them as well and mixing them?
Yeah. Some mixing.
Yeah, because you're... This The Cosmic Silence, there's like such like a groovy 60s vibe, especially like on a song like Bad Man that has like the fuzz guitar with like the flutes and shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's,
I mean,
Nolan Potter playing flute.
Oh, it is?
Track. Yeah.
So you had a whole, like, those are all real instruments coming in and stuff.
Yeah.
You got a sax guy. When you play live as Andrew Cashin, do you have like a whole, how big is your band?
7, including me. No horn section or anything. It's just guitar, bass, drums, keys, and vocals.
Okay.
Maybe at some point I'll do horns, but paying a 9-person band is...
Yeah, dude, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Do you work at Hotel Vegas?
I used to.
You used to?
Yeah.
That place is good. Do you know my cousin Emily Antonetti?
Maybe.
She's real good friends with like Christian and Charles.
Probably then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she said she loved you today when you were.
I know faces better than names.
Yeah, you know her face.
Yeah.
I've got a great picture of her from fourth grade. That's so embarrassing.
Oh,
that I usually show people that know her when she comes in. She's always like, no, it's too far away right now. Yeah. So, man, you're like a super prolific artist. Like you are, you're writing for three bands. What is Tear Dungeon? Why did I only hear about that from Kevin Curtin and that, like in that interview, and that's it? Like, what is it?
I don't know. It's a side project. Some of the people from Sweet Spirit, some of the people from A Giant Dog. It's super aggressive. We wear gimp masks and spit fake blood on us and awesome. The audience.
Inspired by like Guar or something
yeah,
like that.
Bit, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's the thing. Is like there's a certain level of aggression and in your faceness that the other bands have, like the Sweet Spirit and Giant Dog. That obviously it's not Sabrina singing, who is very in your face, but the music itself, like the even like the fuzz guitar solo stuff, is still kind of like laid back, man. Cool. You know what I mean?
Mission accomplished.
Good, yeah, because there is like a sort of like a I say like a yeah. There's like a calm to it. There's like a calm and a laid backness to everything about it.
Yeah.
These solo records.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the polar opposite of Tear Dungeon. Tear Dungeon's one big.
Yeah.
Do it 10.
Yeah.
This just like dial it back and.
Right.
Maybe some of the stuff just felt like it didn't fit the other bands and. I don't know.
So you don't like sit down and like go like, I'm going to write a new Andrew Cashin record. You just kind of like write songs and then shit just kind of falls out. And it's...
Yeah. I mean, I've just got voice memos, like thousands, and I do about one or two a day, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, yeah, that's obviously can't be used for one or the other project, but.
Right. Yeah. And you just file it away.
Yeah.
Is that, that's, I read a thing about the Devil and Mr. Jones, that Spoon song that you co-wrote, and congratulations, that's like a, you know.
Yeah.
Thank even you. If you didn't live here, like even if you lived in like Chicago, that would be really badass to have a song on a fucking Spoon album.
Well, I was living in New York when I wrote that.
Oh yeah?
And I, yeah, and it was like mid, or maybe like 3 months into the pandemic. And so I couldn't, because I was like flying back to do shows.
Okay.
I was on tour a lot. So I still saw my band members and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could live in New York, but then the pandemic happened and I was just like stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, like everybody else.
But. No. But you were stuck in like a ground control to Major Tom's
yeah.
style. Like, yeah, far away from your people.
Yeah. And so I was, you know, still had the itch to be creative and bounce ideas off people. And I just sent him a stupid little voice memo of me like whistling, melody and playing acoustic guitar.
It's a great fucking song.
And he was like, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
And then like a couple days later sent back his own track with lyrics and I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Glad that worked out.
So since I last saw you, then you moved to New York and moved back?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to when did you move there? In 2019?
When was the pandemic?
2020.
2020.
This whole time.
Yeah. Man, I think I moved in August 2018.
Does it really?
Maybe 2019.
Yeah.
The years are.
So, what was the move?
Just I lived in Austin for like 14 years.
Yeah.
And had the opportunity to do it and said yes.
Yeah.
Just to try something different.
And you could make it work in, with the two places.
Yeah, I was going on tour like 6 or 7 months out of the year anyways, so
it didn't really matter where you lived.
Yeah.
It's what she does when I start doing podcasts. She goes and finds shit that she can start fucking with. What part of town did you live in? What part of New York were you?
Lefferts Garden.
What was that?
It's like near Prospect Park.
Oh, okay, nice.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very pretty area.
Yeah.
It's just so goddamn expensive.
Yeah. It really
there.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing that had always... You can tell her to get down. Rosie, down. Leave that man alone. That's the one thing that always, because there's a thing about it, and I know what I was trying to get at and see if it happened to you was there was a point in like my early 30s when I was going there a lot to play, and I was just like, why do I not live in this city? Like, this is the greatest place you can live.
Yeah.
And there's just shit going on all the time. And it was always a matter of, like, money.
Speaking of you in your 30s, I saw a picture of you in the Chronicle.
When?
Recently? The latest one that came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like you and Trail of Dead and Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
You guys look super
young. I have that picture right here.
Yeah.
What's it doing in there?
I don't know. Is this there's a
Trail of Dead?
Yeah, it was this one.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that...
They did an article. I think it's like a Source Tags, that album.
Oh,
like
yeah.
20th year anniversary or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It is. You know what's so funny is that that picture is like from 19... No, Rosie, down. That picture's from like 1999. I remember they were over. They used to work a lot with my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have ever Tracy Gowdy.
Yeah,
she's a photographer and video director.
Yeah,
they were over at the house doing something with Mike and stuff, and I asked them to take a picture with me, and they were like, "Why?" And I was like, "Cause you're gonna be really famous, and I want people to tell. I want to be able to tell people you used to just hang out at my house.
Yeah,
if that's cool.
And I want my picture in the Chronicle and."
Yeah,
20 years.
20-something years. Back, Rosie. Hmm. So where did you move here from?
I moved a few years after high school. From Houston.
Okay.
Like North.
Oh, that's
Houston.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you go to high school up there?
Kleine Oak.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you get back there much? Do you guys? No.
No, my parents moved away.
Where did they move?
They moved to like Dallas area.
Okay.
I mean, we travel through it, but I don't think anybody's parents still like really live there.
Did you come up playing places like Fitzgerald's and like
Yeah, at a little high school punk band. We used to play there all the time. There's this like teen club called Java Jazz that we used to play.
Java Jazz.
Yeah, they served underage club, served kids like coffee and smoothies, and there's a bunch like. American Sharks, Walker Lukens, they all came out of that scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all played Java Jazz, and we played with them.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
There's a bunch of bands who are currently still going. Yeah, that all came out of this little club.
Is it still exist?
No. It changed owners, and I think went under.
What was the punk band that you played at Fitzgerald's? What was it called when you were in high school?
Man, I don't want to say the name.
Come on, man. That's one of my favorite parts of this podcast is like... Teenage band names are bitching.
Oh, well.
Look, that band behind you, I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
Straight to the point. It was 1983.
Damn.
Yeah.
Straight to the point. We were called the Wee Beasties.
The Wee Beasties? That's not bad.
No. But there's also a band in Denton called the Wee Beasties.
Oh, okay.
And they're still going. They were a band when we were in high school.
Oh, really?
They're still going. They sent us a cease and desist in high school to change our name. Fast forward, 15 years, we play a show with them in Denton, and yeah, I go up to the dude, and I was like, remember when you tried to sue us? And he's like, sorry, man, like, that was just one of my friends in high school who's trying to be a lawyer, and I was like, it's fine, man, I think it's fucking hilarious now, but yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. You confront the guy, like, years later.
Oh, yeah.
So, are you going to be playing shows during South by Southwest as Andrew Cashin?
Two?
One
at Radio Coffee and one at Uncle Doug's Chili Fest.
Do you know the dates of those?
Let's see. I got to whip out my phone.
Okay, sorry. Because I'm going to put this out the week of South by. I think like on the Tuesday.
Let me see.
Is Sweet Spirit or a Giant Dog playing?
Yeah, we're doing lots. I think four shows.
Jesus.
For each band.
How do you... what is this like your 14th South By? Or whatever, missing the last 2 years or whatever?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You guys typically play a lot.
I like that, but maybe like 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like...
Yeah.
Got a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, it's not a t-shirt, it's a... It's a shit ass dog I'm gonna beat. Hey. That is not for you. Alright, sorry.
Alright. Radio Coffee.
Yeah.
We play at 2 p.m. on Thursday the 17th. And then Uncle Doug's Chili Fest, we play that the closing Sunday at 8.
Okay.
At Sidebar.
Okay. Sidebar. Sidebar?
Yeah. I think he's doing two locations this time. One's Micklethwaite, the new restaurant, and Sidebar.
Right. So did your last record come out on 9 Mile Records?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got you. What kind of support do they provide for you?
What do you mean?
Like as a record label, some record labels come in, they give you money to make your record. They give you, and then there's some labels like Spaceflight that are here in town that provide this sort of like team for you.
Yeah.
And are they more as muscle as opposed to like being able to dole out money?
It's taken on multiple things. For my solo stuff, like I fund all that, putting out the record or making
the record. Yeah,
getting in the studio. He provides vinyl and marketing, and
I mean that's
sends it out to radio promo and
that's all important. You don't need somebody. I mean, you could use the money, but funding it yourself gives you the total control. They can't come in and be like, "Hey, man, can you not put so much 60s reverb on stuff?" Or
yeah, and I just like. You see an immediate return when you sell records.
Yeah.
Instead of like having a debt with somebody.
Sure. Yeah. What about the other bands? Are they sort of like self-funded as well on that level?
No. Merge gives us money.
Okay. That's has signed both bands or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet Spirit, just the last one.
Okay.
Giant Dog has been on Merge for the last two records. And I think we got one more. Like in our contract.
In your contract. Yeah. How now that things have opened back up, are those bands touring again a lot? Or
Giant Dog did a West Coast tour. God, I don't even remember when. A couple months ago. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it feel good to get back out on the road again? I mean, what was it like being home for like 2 years?
It was nice at parts and other parts. Like, I came back to Texas during the pandemic.
Right.
Because I just ran out of money.
Sure.
And didn't have a job.
Right.
And I was living in Dripping Springs for a little bit. And that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Being out in the country and had a pool out there.
Oh, yeah.
I was swimming every day. Like, kind of felt like vacation.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. I like staying busy better than vacation.
Vacation, yeah. Yeah, I had that during the pandemic in December of 2020. Like, my grandma was going crazy. She's old as shit. And she was like, I want to go and be at the beach. So she rented a beach house, like, on the beach for a month. And was like, anybody who wants to come down here, just get tested and come on down.
Cool.
And I did for the whole month. But, like, after 2 weeks of vacationing, I was getting irritated. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't handle the not doing anything very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah.
If I don't have the ability to be creative or honestly bounce ideas off of people too.
Right.
Like I've done like solo records where I just sit on a laptop and do little keyboard stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good. I don't think it's as good bouncing ideas and having creative feedback from people and I think creativity is inherently a group activity. And I just don't think it's as fun or good when I just sit there by myself and not bounce ideas off of people.
It's funny because there's a perception that now that people are able to do that more easily, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like in the time of Prince where you actually had to be able to play drums real well and bass real well and, you know.
Yeah.
Be able to do all that stuff. So now it's people have, there's a misconception that just because they can, it's good or better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, is it like you do the voice memos for these songs and stuff, but do you do like kind of realized demos or do you get with the producer? I'm sorry, I forgot his name.
Stu. Stu Sykes.
Yeah.
No.
Like, how do you arrange?
I've got like GarageBand stuff and I've made tracks on there.
Yeah.
I've tried demoing some stuff like that. I don't know what I'm doing and I think it just sounds terrible. So I like keeping it raw, keeping it simple, not adding layers,
right?
And like then bringing it to a band or, but keeping it as simple as possible.
Sure, sure.
And just keeping the idea there. I just, yeah. If I was a good producer or like a good engineer,
right,
I would probably, yeah, have full flushed out demos, and I'm just not, I guess I could teach myself, but
yeah,
I'm not that good at it.
It's funny because it kind of seems like when you listen, when I listen to your stuff, I imagined you kind of like coming up with all of the horn arrangements and stuff and the thing, or how is that?
Yeah, I definitely have an idea of what I want it to sound like, but like on both solo records, I have Josh Mary from Sweet, or he used to play in Sweet Spirit. But he's a big help in just like facilitating and just saying like, yes, that is good. No, it needs to be this, like, and just making ideas come to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important to have, man.
Yeah.
I vacillate between the two. 'Cause like when I started like writing, I had seen, do you know Mark Hallman? He owns a Congress House recording studio here.
Maybe.
He was a friend of my mom's. I knew him when I was a kid. So like when I was like 14, 15, he would go into his studio and start working on a song and do this drum machine program and like create a whole thing by himself in a day, like write a whole song and record it. So there was like a realized demo of it. And so I saw that at such a young age that I immediately believed that that's the process that you do, like when you write and record at the same time.
Yeah.
So I got a 4-track early on. I've always had something like this, and I like a hands-on kind of thing. I like it a lot more than working in Pro Tools I don't like working on a laptop. Yeah. Even though that is a computer thing, it's still tactile and fun to use.
Yep.
Anyway, I've teetered between the two, like presenting a producer fully flushed out demos, or like one guy was like, I sent him all that stuff and he was like, no. Just go at the piano or guitar and play the song into your phone and send me that. I don't want your ideas. So
yeah. I've done it both ways too. I get attached to demos.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Even if it's shitty quality, I just get too attached to them and I'm just like, but I like that one better. You know, this sounds and was recorded with better equipment and all that. Like
demo-itis thing.
Yeah.
Where you can never achieve the vibe with your band in a really nice... Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
Dude, how does it work then with like a Giant Dog and Sweet Spirit? Like do you come in with music ideas generally all the songs, or is it like a whole...
We've done it...
Every way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it started out with just me and Sabrina writing songs in a room and bringing them to the band. The last record that we did, we primarily wrote it in the studio. There were a few ideas that were flushed out beforehand, but basically just took 12 ideas into the studio and then made the songs in there, like arrangements and everything.
Yeah.
Which was completely different, but I believe in trying stuff. Trying something new.
And, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's an exciting way to do it.
And that record sounds completely different than anything we've done.
Yeah, that's the last record that you did.
Liked it, but
yeah,
it's still like, well, we did it.
Yeah,
maybe the next one we won't do that way. But
did you watch that Get Back thing?
No.
Oh.
I don't have Disney Plus.
You don't have a friend that has a kid?
No.
That's my there's had a friend that felt sorry for me, and he had a kid. He's like, here, just take my pass thing. And there's like 40 people on his thing. There's like, when you sign on this?
Well,
like,
the last time I went to my parents, I've got like nieces and nephews and stuff. Last time I went to my parents' house, I was like, you guys have Disney Plus. Like, let me watch that Beatles thing.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out how to log in. So
it's really long. It's pretty inspiring to watch, but there's a thing about like them going in and like, oh, so in 3 weeks we're going to write this record and record it and then play a show at the end of it, make it a TV show and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, how did they're, you know, there takes takes some balls to go in with not everything fully realized.
Yeah.
Was there any panic going in there?
Oh, yeah.
Especially when someone's, there's money.
Yeah. There's money. Time is money.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and.
Yeah.
I mean, you even feel pressure when you're talking about ideas. I'm just like, we're spending too much time talking about this.
Let's no shit.
Just lay it down. Like, we'll fight later when we're not in the studio. But.
Do you guys work at Stu's studio?
Yes. That joke has been made multiple times.
Okay.
Calling his Stu studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know this is totally off topic, but that guy's such a good singer. It's only now in my life that I'm realizing that Phil Collins was a great fucking singer.
I thought you were talking about Stu Sykes. No. Like, I've never heard him sing.
No. Phil Collins is a great singer.
Yeah. He is.
Like a great fucking singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Great drummer, too.
Yeah. Great drummer. When you go in and, like, when you went in and made this record, do you guys have, like, parameters that you do? Like, do you say, like, we're not going to do this, or we're going to...
The last solo record?
Yeah.
Like
you and Stu.
No. Typically, all those songs are just... We do drums and acoustic guitar first,
yeah.
And then just add layers, decide what it's going to be, and no real parameters. I just call in a bunch of favors from all the musicians that I know in town and try to get it made as cheaply as possible.
Yeah.
But
do you play with a lot of other people too, like in that way, not just all the million bands that you play in already, but like... Like someone like Sarah Hauser, right? She was on your record?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever go and play on her shit or any?
No. I'm not the best, like, guitar player or anything. So, like, I've sat in. I've produced some people's stuff.
Who all have you done?
Band called Fools.
Uh-huh. I've not heard them.
I did one of their records.
How was that?
It's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of like a home studio thing. I think the record came out great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I should check it out. I'll listen to it. Fools.
I've worked with Walker Lukens a lot.
Yeah?
In his studio. If anybody needs a producer...
You have great ideas.
I'll do it for free, man. I just love being in the studio.
Yeah. Well, I feel like now with the way that budgets are and stuff, when you're getting, because there was even like 15 years ago, I made this record where I recorded it myself and played everything on it. And then all of a sudden people were like, hey, will you produce my record? Mm-hmm. And I did it for like 2 years. And it's really hard to make ends meet when you're, I was working for like 5 cents an hour. Like when I broke it down one time, I was like, I'm making 5 cents an hour doing this. But it's still super fun, and it's fun to dig into other people's stuff. But then it starts to be a drag when you're mixing. And this happened to me. The dudes weren't there. It was just me and the engineer, and we started like the first day of mixing.
Yeah.
And they weren't there. And finally, I texted the singer, and I was like, "Hey, where are you guys?" Like, "Oh, we were just having a meeting. You got a second?" I'm like, "Sure." He calls. Like, so we broke up. And so. Me and the engineer just stayed there and mixed the record for ourselves that night. But there was a lot of that. Like, there was a lot of, like, you don't realize how much bands break up until you start working with them. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as, like, the Andrew Cash, do you have a manager or a booking agent that handles your thing? Or your thing is just full-on Renegade? Renegade.
The guy who runs 9 Mile, Rick.
Okay.
Perrick.
Yeah.
He's my manager. Honestly, I haven't been playing shows, but I assume at some point he will be my booking manager.
Yeah.
Basically, right now, it's all just word of mouth.
Yeah.
I'll be out at Hole in the Wall or something, and somebody will be like, come play a show.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I hung out with him at this Go Fever show at BLK Vinyl one day. That guy's really cool. I ended up getting him on the podcast to talk to him because I really like what he does, and... I like that movement right now that there's these labels like Spaceflight, them, some other ones in town that I've talked to too that I can't remember the name of right off the top of my head, but it's cool to have that sort of like at least support system for people moving forward.
Yeah.
You know?
and yeah, have a huge local support.
Yeah.
Of just putting out specifically local bands.
Yeah.
Not trying to.
Right.
Intentionally have like a national label. Like
right.
Focusing solely on local stuff is cool.
Do you ever play the board game Risk?
Yeah.
Touring and like business and everything, I feel like if you're really good at Risk, yeah, the game, you'll be really good. Like you don't spread yourself too thin. You don't try and take over too many continents before you're ready.
Yeah.
And all that kind of shit. So I think that, yeah.
You always have to act as like, yeah, your own accountant, your own lawyer, your own.
Yeah.
Like you take on all these roles and.
Yeah.
It gets overwhelming.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And these labels seem to provide a support system for people to be able to focus more on their art. And the labels do that so that the artists can focus more on their art. Because I feel like there's another thing that goes on now that like there's like a so much of a focus on social media and like standing in certain things that don't really have anything to do with the art that these artists create.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I admire some of the bands that just like refuse to do social media.
Yeah.
Like Parquet Courts and like.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, we don't do it. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I wish I could do that. But it just feels like you can't.
Yeah. You'd be letting people down.
I don't know another way of, another easier avenue of letting people know you're playing shows, letting people know you have stuff coming out.
Like, right. But the whole like letting people know where you're having dinner.
People
letting
used to not do it.
Yeah.
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 And people found out about records and.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just seems so ingrained now.
Yeah. How do you find music now? Like, how do you discover music?
Bandcamp, Spotify, word of mouth.
Yeah.
I work in a record shop, so like,
oh,
we're always talking.
What record shop do you?
Feel So Good.
Oh, where's that?
Do you know Fine Southern Gentleman?
Yeah.
It's like in that same warehouse area.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So obviously you have an in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just constantly listening to music and constantly talking about it and being around it. That probably the most than Spotify or Bandcamp, but.
It seems like to me, like beyond, like there's this idea now that of like publicists are the end all be all, and you got to have a publicist because you got to. But to me, like reading about some band in some weird thing in some magazine doesn't quite have the connection of as a friend of mine telling me you should hear this band or someone I respect saying you should hear this band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think even when you do get a article in a magazine, it doesn't have as much weight as it used to.
Not either. At all.
Like, if you got in Spin or Rolling Stone, it was huge.
Oh yeah,
and your band blew up, and
yeah,
now, like I've had articles in both, and it's just like, well, it's just something. Like,
yeah, it's weird that thing. I actually have a guy from the magazine Magnet.
Yeah,
yeah, I have a guy from Magnet coming on the show during South by that's in town that I've known for a long time.
Nice
to kind of talk about that because being in Magnet used to be a big fucking deal.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It was synonymous with kind of the paper copies getting
right. What do you? I mean, like, you prefer having Bandcamp. I noticed, like, when you Google you, mm-hmm, Andrew Cashin, the first thing that comes up is your Bandcamp.
Yeah,
which is good. And you don't have a website for Andrew Cashin, right? I don't think you do.
I don't think I do.
It didn't come up anywhere.
I think at some point I wanted one, and I don't think it came. But.
So you try and do your stuff on Bandcamp and encourage people to go to Bandcamp to get your.
Yeah. I mean, it pays.
Pays the most.
Yeah. It pays 100 times what Spotify pays.
Yeah.
Like if you want to support people, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
They're the best way that I know.
Yeah.
The most convenient, best way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting because that shit changes all the time because I notice now SoundCloud's a great place for me when a publicist or an artist sends me the link to their album that hasn't come out yet. That's a great way to listen to it instead of having to stop in Dropbox after every song and listen to another song.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think at one point SoundCloud was making some waves, but now it's kind of like,
well, yeah,
the orange one.
Even when you're sending out demos to record labels and stuff, they're just like, just make a private Bandcamp. Like,
right.
Don't send me a folder with a bunch of files in it. Just like make a private Bandcamp where I can just listen to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did in Sweet Spirit and a Giant Dog get approached by major labels? Or were people scared of you guys?
We got approached by one label. And they were, yeah, they were scared that we were doing two bands at the same time, both touring constantly.
Sure.
I don't think they were interested in having either one in particular. They just were like, well, why don't you just
choose one?
Yeah, choose one and do it. And right. We're just like, no, it's not the same thing. Like, just because we share members, it doesn't. I think they wanted us to like combine them into one band.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, no, we've been doing it for like years. We can't just like.
And you do it successfully because each time one of the records comes out from one of the bands, it does as well as the last record from the other band. You know what I mean? Like it or at least the perception to me is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
How did you guys end up doing that?
Basically, I was just writing songs, had a bunch of songs. Sabrina had some songs. Sabrina's band, Bobby Jealousy, broke up.
Right.
And they wanted to do another project in a more like pop feel.
Yeah.
Like trying to get away from rock and roll and punk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sabrina went and scouted out people from different bands. I think they got that advice from, what's his name? It's a producer. He produced Angel Olsen's record.
I don't know.
I forget his name. But they're just like, yeah, you want to start a band? Go to live shows.
Yeah. Pick
just,
out.
Just start sniping out musicians.
I've done
like,
that.
You're my drummer now. You're my, yeah. Like, yeah. And yeah. They did that and got a band together. And then, I don't know, I think I was just over at their house. And I just kind of like weaseled my way in there and started writing songs.
Yeah.
But Giant Dog, that was like one of the first things I did when I moved to Austin.
Yeah.
It was just like, found Sabrina, started writing songs on a rooftop, started playing shows at Beerland, and that's been around for 12 years now.
Wow.
Like that. Since 2008.
Wow. I didn't realize. For some reason.
2008-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sweet Spirit kind of like had a brighter light shined on it because of its accessibility.
I mean, locally, yes.
Locally. Okay. Yeah. Well, I live here.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Sweet Spirit doesn't do as well on the road. Sweet
really?
Spirit's never been to Europe. Giant Dog goes to Europe all the time, and we've got a big following over there. And I think nationally we do a little bit better, but
that's interesting.
Sweet Spirit, yeah, we play probably bigger shows in town.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you like going to Europe?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you guys do your own shows there? Or do you tour with other bands there? Or what?
No, we do our own.
Wow.
Yeah. You get paid way more.
Yeah.
We usually have a driver, which is nice.
Yeah.
Somebody's like mom makes you food. Like
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. They always like find you a place to stay too. You don't got to do any of that stuff.
That's amazing.
A lot of times the venues have like rooms attached.
Right.
To the venue that you get to stay at for free. And everybody buys merch. You just get treated better. Like, you don't show up to the venue like, here's your two drink tickets, fuck off. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just like, we're so happy to see you.
Yeah.
And they like treat you like family. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you guys have plans to go there anytime? Or are things changing because of that war? Like, are people like... Because of that war.
Yeah.
Sounding kind of flippant.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with touring and the war.
But, yeah.
I think we were in talks about going in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your thing, you're not going to go there as Andrew Cashin.
To Europe?
Yeah.
I would love to.
I don't. I
mean, somebody invite me.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll
yeah.
Go. Yeah.
Do you guys have distribution out there or anything? Or?
No. I don't think 9 Mile has international distribution, but
who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to check out your South by shows. Are they official or no. non?
All that's just word of mouth.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. It seems, you know, the thing is like being official. I've had such sad experiences because of a fast turnover, mm-hmm. and shit not really being right when it's kind of supposed to be like your most important kind of shows.
Yeah.
And I remember when my band ended up getting a deal, it was because our bass player had been in a band where they didn't sign up for South by Southwest. They just rented a rehearsal room and played every hour on the hour during South by Southwest, like for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like for 20 minutes.
Oh God, I've got a nightmare story.
You do? Let's hear it.
Like a giant dog was playing great shows at like Barracuda.
Yeah, yeah.
All their, but none of these were official.
Right.
We did like three or four and they were all packed out.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, we got to play our official showcase.
Yeah.
It's on St. Patrick's Day at an Irish pub. I don't even remember what
that it was didn't called. Even have music normally.
Yeah.
Right.
Of downtown.
Course. Yeah.
It's like 20 people. I got threw up on. By a drunk girl. I think Graham got a drink tossed on him. It was just like the worst area of 6th Street, the worst people on the worst day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't think we need to do that again.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing is like you don't know what's going to I've had a couple that were like so weird. I had one where my set was cut to like maybe 17 minutes because of it, I was playing a place on the Wednesday, but they had built the PA and stage and everything that day and were ringing it out halfway through the opening person's set. And so by the time it got to me, I literally had 17-minute set.
Yeah. And yeah, everybody just thinks that, oh, it's South by, I can throw a show. And it's like, no, there's like stage managers. Yeah. There's like a yeah. bunch of stuff that you're missing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the most shows you've played during a South by?
I think back in the day, like 2012.
Yeah.
It's like 18 in a week.
Ooh, that's a lot.
But it was like a, like trading battle stories. I'd go and talk to my other, like Caleb in Bad Lovers, and he's like, I did 25, man. And I'm like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, my friend George Reef did 25.
Yeah.
Up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, but with I think 11 different artists.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like running with his bass everywhere, like going and playing.
Oh, yeah, Sweet Spirit hired a driver one time.
Yeah.
Because we were, it was like 5 shows in a day.
Yeah.
We didn't want to have to
worry. I did that one
like,
year,
we had
yeah.
to like roll up to the venue, pop out. Like,
yeah.
We didn't even have time to park. We just had to like play, get back in the van, go somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
Which is fun when you're young, but now we're just like,
yeah.
I don't want to do that shit again.
Like, yeah.
That was exhausting.
Yeah. I remember one of the last ones that I did a daytime thing at Hotel Vegas. I played maybe at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I went there early to drop off my stuff and to park and to go do some other stuff, but I couldn't find parking. So I dropped off my stuff and I came back here and parked and walked back to Hotel Vegas, packed up my shit, walked back here, got my car, went and picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, South by Southwest Horror Stories. But it is a great, fun thing. I'm glad it's back.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see some shit.
And it seems like it's more locally...
Yeah.
I don't know. All the bands, it's just like, here's 2 bands that are
right
popular, and then the rest is just all local stuff.
Right.
Lady Gaga's not playing in a...
Doritos stage.
Doritos machine.
that Doritos year was like, that was just like...
Yeah.
Oh, so this is what it is now.
It's like a caricature of itself.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen? You know what happened? You got to keep on growing and doing stuff. And sometimes you take a left turn when you probably should have taken a right.
Yeah.
dude, it's been great talking to you. And this record really, like, it's gorgeous, man. You are cool. Fucking, you are so talented and such a great songwriter.
Thank you very much.
I really like, I love every, I need to hear Tear Dungeon and see Tear Dungeon before I say this about all of your musical endeavors.
Yeah.
But I love all of them. I really like, I'm a huge fan of yours. And that fucking, The Devil and Mr. Jones song, whatever you had to do, that's a great song.
Cool.
And yeah, you're just really, you're a talented fellow and I'm glad I know you.
Thank you.
I think the last time I saw you was in 2018, at ACL. I mean, we didn't see each other. I saw you play.
Okay.
That's the last time I saw you guys play.
Yeah. When did me and Sabrina do this podcast?
I can't remember. But all I remember from that is that I was making soup and she hated the way it smelled. That's what I remember most about that. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, what is that horrible smell? I'm like, yeah. I'm making soup. She's like, ah. So thanks for dealing with Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
She cooled out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great having you on, man. And good luck with everything.
Cool. Thank you.
Holding on, holding on.
That's Andrew Cashin from A Giant Dog and Sweet Spirit, his new album, The Cosmic Silence, available on 9 Mile Records. Go to Bandcamp and check it out. Get into it. You can also hear his songwriting expertise as he co-wrote the song The Devil and Mr. Jones with Britt Daniel on the new Spoon album. See him tomorrow, Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, at 2 p.m. at Radio Coffee, or Sunday at Uncle Doug's, 8 p.m. I hope you guys continue to have a really great South by Southwest. Don't forget, if you're listening to this show, follow us on whatever place you're listening to it. Like us, give us a heart, rate us, tell people about us. If you're an Andrew Cashin fan and you enjoyed that conversation, share this on social media with the hashtag HDIGH, all in caps. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great rest of the South by Southwest. Friday, the Ghost Wolves will be on the show. Yeah, that's right. Three shows this week, baby. Have a great South by Southwest. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, and enjoy the rest of this song, Holding On by Andrew Cashin. Let's get down.